Hi.
Hello.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't quite know where to start. We have two episodes within a week. When's the last time that's happened?
It's been a long time.
It's been a bit. The seasons have changed since then.
Yeah.
We're back with another Spooktober episode, another musical horror movie.
Yes.
This one was more horror-y than the last one.
And I actually had no idea it was a musical horror when I chose it.
But
that was a fun surprise.
But we watched The Lure, directed by Agnieszka Smoczynska, Polish 2015 Polish horror musical.
I saw a Letterboxd review that described it as your average run-of-the-mill adults-only Polish mermaid sex musical, which feels accurate. That is what it is.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So we will discuss that in just a moment. Before we get into that, how has your week been? Your last 4 days, your weekend, really?
It was nice. I had I think I was complaining about how busy I had been when we spoke a couple days ago, which remained true. I had to do some crazy amounts of stuff all day Friday. But then for the weekend, I got to go home to see my family in the Springs. It was my stepmom's birthday. And I had an absolute blast there for 2 days. My baby sister is really, really into Halloween right now and witches and witchcraft and magic and stuff. So we got some edible glitter and we made magical potions out of juice and glitter.
Nice.
And we drank them and then we had magical powers. It was very fun. She's just in a stage of life where she's just so much fun to hang out with. So yeah, had a really good time. And then I came home last night and I watched this movie.
Incredible weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My weekend was ruled by Tapa Pias, which I think I mentioned last time.
Yes. Yeah.
Super fun. I lived up to the hype. So I don't know what I said last week, but basically it's a tapa competition in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so you go from place to place and try their tapas for €3 for a little small beer bottle and a plate of tapas.
That sounds so fun.
And it was so cool. It went off the chain. I was so surprised by how many people there were. It was insane. It was honestly a giant block party.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
In some sections. Because basically there's a couple streets where there's a whole bunch of restaurants that are participating in a row, and it was just wall to wall with people. It was a little overwhelming, but the food is really good. At the beginning it was a little confusing because we would try to sit down. Well, we'd sit down at a place and eat normally, but that's not how it is. This is a stand up walk around kind of thing,
right?
And it was super fun. So maybe I will do that again, participate again next weekend, because it is a 2 weekend event.
Whoa. Yeah, I would do that for sure.
So I probably had about 12 or 13 different places foods over the course of the weekend. And there's around 50 some. So if I'm going to try every one, I have a lot of ground to make up next weekend. Hey, I don't think that'll actually.
There are so many restaurants in your neighborhood.
That's So basically, as far as I'm told, as far as I understand, it is the most ethnically diverse place in all of Spain, is specifically Lavapiés.
What a cool place to live.
So not only are there hella restaurants, there's hella different cuisines represented by said restaurants. Yeah. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, so this is a super fun kind of experience to just try a bunch of different stuff. And honestly, most of the restaurants I hadn't been to before. At least the ones with the best tapas are the places that I hadn't ever been before. So now, in the future, I'll have to go and have a full meal at some of these places. Totally. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I also have another big piece of life news that isn't like nothing actually happened. It's just a decision that I semi-made, kind of on a whim, that might dictate my next couple years of life.
Okay.
I decided I'm going to apply for a master's program.
Ooh.
At a film school. Thank you. At a school, I guess it's not technically just a film school, but at a school in Budapest.
Whoa, that would be so cool.
Yeah. So I was just curious. I had to make a presentation for the kiddos at school.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a different one specifically for the kids in their last year, because there's a class that I'm helping out with that's like that. And I'm theming it around like what I want to do with like what I've wanted to do with my life at different points, and how I kind of decide that. Cause I feel like that's a big thing on your mind in your last year of high school.
Yeah, for sure.
And in the course of kind of thinking about this and putting it together, I was like, well, what's my next step going to be? And it got me just like looking around for interesting programs that are down the avenue of what I want to do. And I found two that I really liked. One in London, or specifically in Europe, because I kind of don't want to go back to the United States right now. And it would be too expensive for grad school there.
Yeah.
Because that's why I had written it off before. And I found two programs that I really liked. One in London that would be like perfect, guaranteed a job in the industry, exactly what I'm like wanting to do, but it would also be insanely expensive. And another one that also seems very, very promising, that will be manageable price.
Nice. That is so exciting.
So yeah, so here's the catch is that, well, not really a catch, but I need to know my research topic as part of my application. It's like a kind of draft proposal. As part of the application. So I'm going to get to work on that and like really kind of guide my movie watching by some potential, because it'll be a film theory degree.
Gotcha.
And that's specifically what I was looking for. So I'm going to have my movie watching kind of be guided by that to apply in the window that runs from February to April.
Okay, cool.
And so, yeah, I'm going to kind of be delving into movies that I like, trying to find something that I really feel like I have something to say about.
Yeah. Cool. I'm so excited to like hear the updates through that process.
Yeah. I may be jumping the gun here, but I'm also just very excited about it. And it feels like a direction that I can just go in head first. And that's really exciting because I haven't felt that way in a bit.
Totally.
When we first started the podcast, neither of us had bachelor degrees quite yet. You were just wrapping it up.
Yeah.
you're about to finish another degree.
I am. I defend my master's thesis on November 13th.
Ooh.
The date is official now. And
it's set in stone.
If it goes well, I will be a master that day. So crazy.
You will become the master.
The master.
The master.
Only.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so enough about me. Let's talk about some mermaids.
Let's do it.
The Lure. Not expecting it. Well, I realized before I started watching it, because I read like the description, like, oh, is this also going to be a musical? maybe sharing some similarities with our selection from last week. In some ways.
Yeah, truly.
But yeah, since you picked this one, let's hear a story about it. Why did you decide to pick this one?
I love mermaids. I love like mermaid lore. And a little while ago, I had been looking into mermaid movies specifically because I don't feel that enough of them exist and I wanted to watch one. And that's how I found this one. But I kind of had, this was like a while ago, but I put off watching it because there were a lot of reviews that made me feel like I wasn't going to like it all that much. But it stayed just kind of like on my Letterboxd watch list. Like it was not a high priority for me, but I was like, someday I should really watch this scary mermaid movie because I love scary mermaids. And then this October, felt like the perfect time to bring it up because we like to watch kind of eclectic, campy horror movies during this month. So I was like, okay, I think it's finally time to visit the Scary Mermaid movie. And then we did.
And here we are. actually, that one quick correction from last week, I said Black Christmas was our third October watch. It was not. We watched this one in December.
Oh, nice.
Like early December. Like,
yeah.
It's, and decided it was the perfect bridge between Halloween and Christmas.
And it is.
Yeah. But our third October episode was the challenge week where we watched Diabolique and Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. So good. God, I love Rosemary's Baby.
Wanted to point that out. But yeah, so The Lure. It is a musical.
Yeah, which set, I did not know.
Set in the 80s in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what were your overall thoughts on this one?
I liked it fine. I didn't love it. I guess my overall thoughts are like, I feel exactly how I expected to feel about it. The things that I thought I would like about it are indeed the things that I liked. And the things that I thought I wouldn't like about it are also the things that I had predicted. So it feels good because at this point in my life, I just feel like I have a very good grasp on my own movie watching preferences. You know, it's nice to know that I'm like right about these things for myself. But yeah, the things that I really liked were just kind of the concept and the visuals. You get to see a lot of great mermaids in motion in the water. Their tails are really cool. Just kind of like this 80s music scene that they find themselves in on land is really cool. And you get to see them eat a fair amount of people, which I like. And also communicate with each other through like whale sounds.
Or yeah, whale
sounds. That was really cool. My favorite scene was the scene where they almost fought each other and they are sort of like circling around each other in the bathroom, the two mermaids, and they're like snarling at each other and their like big scary teeth that they used to eat people are popping out.
And like nursery rhyming.
Yes. I love the idea that they would be very just like animalistic. And that comes up a couple of times in the movie. And I liked that whole like aspect of it. And they sing some siren songs. Love it. These are all the things that I'm like, yeah, a hallmark of a good Scary Mermaid movie would have those things. And it did. And it did them like very well. The things that I didn't like are that I felt like there was a couple of scenes that was like, you're just being weird just for the sake of it, like just for the shock value of some of these images. And I knew that that was going to be an issue for me, that kind of thing just kind of annoys me. And it did. Like, I don't know. There was a couple of things that popped up that just made me sort of roll my eyes. And then there was also just sort of a general like lack of direction. It's this movie's only an hour and a half long. And when I saw that, I was like, I don't think it's going to have a complete enough story. And then it just didn't. And that's fine. I did like it, but not like I didn't love it, you know? Mm. What about you?
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that you got exactly what you were expecting out of it.
Yeah.
Because I did not know what to expect, but it was not what it was.
Yeah.
I was so on the same page as this movie up until a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, this is so good. I'm 100% all in.
Yeah.
And it was actually the scene you're talking about. It was like directly after that where I think it started, where it kind of stopped. It starts to
fall apart. Yeah.
But like up until that point, I was like almost 100% on board with what was going on.
Yeah. The beginning is so awesome. Even the musical numbers, which I don't really like musicals that much, or so I keep saying, but then I just keep getting like disproven. Like I keep finding more and more musicals that actually I do like.
Yeah.
You've just been watching.
Oh, sorry. Maybe you've just been watching the wrong sorts of musicals in the past.
I think I have. I like a campy, scary musical. I don't know. I actually just really liked the musical numbers for the most part. In the beginning of this movie, I really liked the musical numbers. Mm. The very first one where you like realize that it's a musical, when the two girls are sort of like running around town and everybody around them's like choreographed. I thought it did such a good job of just like kind of showing the wonder that you would have if you've never had a life on land before. And I loved it. And like, yeah, in those scenes in the beginning, maybe half of the movie, I was so into it. I thought it was going to be great. But then, like, you get halfway through and you're like, there's not that much movie left. How are they going to solve these conflicts? And then it just kind of goes nowhere.
The moment where they fell in love by musical song and dance, where they're just kind of singing at each other with their instruments. That scene was impeccable. I was like, man, this is what's up. Like, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And like that scene specifically, I thought was just such a good moment that is going to stick with me just because it was so like, I don't know. I think that is like a very pure distillation of like knowing what you're presenting and being able to execute on it, which is something that I talk about is like always my pinnacle of what I love in movies. And I think that does it. And I was like starting to ride the wave of like, this is so cool. This is such a gem. But I think the thing for me is that a lot of the stuff that people do didn't make sense, but that might not have bugged me. I mean, we said the same thing. It's not the exact same, but like we said similar things about Phantom of the Paradise, where it's like, you don't really care that like it doesn't quite line up or it's not shown lining up.
Yeah.
But for me, the difference is that one, and I would also kind of compare it to The Red Shoes. They're movies that are telling fables. You know the fable roughly that they're presenting, right? Like it's it's clear. There's a sense that the characters are locked into doing what they're doing, and it's you just have to watch it go down. And like I don't know how like to that they create that sense, but I at least I noticed that I definitely feel that. But this one, I think if it was able to do that, it would have worked. It's just it spends so much time on like these little like moments that are trying to be like character moments.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the characters are still acting like they're stuck in doing what they're doing when it's not presented that way. And I think that's like the friction that like didn't quite work for me. Because it's like
I really agree.
Yeah, you ask yourself watching, you're like, why are they doing this? And it does it the way that it presents itself, it should be explaining why, and it just never does and expects you to still go along with it. So
yeah.
And I think that it diminishes the effect of moments that should have been important.
I agree. It just got kind of irritating after a while to like keep constantly be like, why are these people doing this? Just like never really get any clear answers. And then in the end, like all of their decisions were just like obnoxious to me. Like, I don't know. The finale of the movie, I was like, God, that sucks. I wish it didn't play out like that.
It was, a little frustrating to watch. The only character that I think is characterized well consistently throughout the whole movie is Golden.
Golden. I agree. She rocks.
She's the only one that gets to really be a fully developed character, I would say.
I agree. And like, she's the most level-headed mermaid. Like, why is her sister so bad at being a mermaid? It bothers me.
I don't know, though. I feel like that could be a source of like interest that just doesn't quite get there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it never became compelling. It just remained annoying to me the whole time.
Because I liked a lot of the themes that they were dealing with. And then at a certain point, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, man. That scene where they're like... I don't even know. I was confused by it. It's like an IV and it's like...
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like drug addicts.
Yeah, like I feel like that was like a metaphor of some sort, but it also just, I couldn't place it in the context of what was going on in the movie. It didn't make sense.
I know. Like, you're talking about like the three people after they think that they killed the mermaids, right?
Yeah.
And they wrap them up. And then, they just kind of go crazy and they beat each other up.
Where did that come from?
I was like, what are you guys doing? I agree. Like, I was trying to say in my head, like, yeah, the mermaids sort of like introduce them to this life of wonder, I guess, that now they like, they don't know how to cope anymore when it's not there. Like, they almost have this like an addiction to like the magic of being in the presence of the mermaids. But that was like not really shown. Like, you were never like, oh yeah, they're just in awe of the mermaids. They kind of started hating the mermaids and then they killed them, kind of.
Yeah.
And then they went crazy. And I was like, what? I just don't understand that series of events.
That's just when it kind of spiraled out and then never got back on track.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think I still have like a very positive opinion on this movie. Mm-hmm. Because I think that like the stuff it gets right is things that I haven't really seen often or in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. it reminded me of this movie that Chantal Ackerman did, Golden 80s, it's called. It's also set in the 80s.
Oh, cool. And,
but it's specifically centered around a shopping mall, but also a musical. And I don't know why, but like certain aspects of that one reminded me of this one reminded me of that. And highly recommend.
Okay.
But it's a different vibe, because I think a big thing that also isn't really touched upon necessarily is that like Poland was still behind the curtain at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like the end of that period, but that I didn't really like feel that presence as much. I was only reminded in certain little moments that was what was going on there. But it didn't feel like a big theme. But I think that's at least when comparing those two, that's a big difference of like France versus Poland in the 80s. But
I think this is the first Polish movie I've ever watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen a small handful.
Nice. It was cool. I really liked the very like grungy, dingy vibe of the whole movie. I liked the music too.
Yeah.
I wish that I could watch a better translation of this, because I really don't think that the lyrics of the songs were being translated very well at all, like to English. That's just kind of a hunch. Like, maybe I'm wrong about that, but a lot of the lyrics, I'm like, that's got to just be like a very literal translation, because it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I wish I could understand the songs better.
It's like they got to be more poetic than this.
Yeah.
I kind of get that vibe too. I think the aesthetics really worked.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's like a weird, the nightclub where they work at.
Yeah.
I think is a very interesting like setting for this one, because it feels very low class, but also like the production value that goes into their acts is like very fun, like very kind of played up. It feels like a grimy fantasy world. And I think that's another thing that this one like accomplishes really well. That I like about it.
It's so perfect, because the mermaids, they just look like so at place there. It's also like, I think the two mermaids are so perfectly cast and like dressed and stuff. Like I really like the whole vibe. They look like mermaids, and their hair was just kind of always sort of like wet looking, which I really liked. And they just look a little bit spooky and kind of like not of this earth. And they both had beautiful, haunting voices too. And then like the clothes that they wore, like the way that they were costumed, it just sort of felt like, yeah, those are things that mermaids would be drawn to if they got on Earth. It just made a lot of sense. Like the whole shaping of the visuals was done so well. And I really, really, that was probably like the best part for me.
Mm. Yeah. You did say at the very beginning that you really liked the fishtails. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I felt about the fishtails. Really? They were very uncomfortable.
They were so fishy. I loved that.
I guess that is true. They made
and they're so big. Like it was unnerving to look at, and I liked that about it.
Yeah,
they were creepy looking.
Yeah, I don't know.
I liked it.
They did just I mean, I agree with everything you said, but like, so it's like, I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's necessarily a critique here, but
yeah.
What did we feel about, how did we feel about the fella, the guy? Is that their son? I did not understand.
I also don't really know how he was related to them.
I feel like he wouldn't be their son, but like,
I know. I feel like that too. And I also hated him. And I like really just didn't get on board with him and the mermaid being in love, especially because in like the first moment when she's trying to seduce him, he's like, to me, you'll always be a fish.
Animal. I was like, dog, what?
It's like, geez, that's harsh. But then they fell in love anyway, despite him saying that like pretty quickly.
And yeah, that was like the intro to that scene that I was talking about.
And then he cheated on her after she got human surgery, after she gave up her tail and they cut it off and she got legs sewn on for him. He cheated on her. And the next thing you know, he's freaking getting married. Oh, it was unbelievable. I hated that guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that like to me felt very like shoehorned, because the thing that the demon guy says, we'll get to him in a second actually. But like, he was like, if you fall in love, if she falls in love, and then the person that she falls in love with gets married, then she will turn into seafoam.
I know. He says that and I'm like, okay, well, obviously that's not going to happen. Why would that happen? And then it does happen. Clearly. And it happens so fast and so stupidly. Well, and I'm like, I just like, I cannot buy into this conflict at all. I do not understand why this man is getting married to this person.
Like, and that she's like also just there, like chilling.
Yeah.
At this way.
I know. And she's just like cool with it, kind of.
Yeah, she's like legit smiling at the beginning of that scene. I'm like, hmm.
I'm like, remember how you gave up your whole livelihood, your voice, and your tail for this?
Well, my thought process when watching that scene was like, oh, she's sitting there and they're just performing and she doesn't realize that he's with her now. That's why she's smiling, and then it's going to turn when like she realized. So when they kissed each other, I was like, oh man, things are going to get crazy.
Yeah.
And then they just got married. I was like, how do we get to this point? I feel like we're missing something.
I know. And then they knew that they were getting married because her sister was telling her she had to eat him. She knew she was going to turn into seafoam.
Yeah.
And it's also like, I kind of think if either of them had just told that to that guy, he wouldn't have gotten married. I really think if at any point they had been like, okay, can you just like date this girl without marrying her legally? Because she will turn into sea foam if you do that. He would have been like, yeah, that's totally fine.
Or maybe he just wouldn't.
I don't know. That was just so stupid to me. But
the thing for me, ate him
in the end.
Yeah.
Holden, that he had that coming.
He had it coming. The thing for me is that like, so I think this is a loose adaptation of Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid.
Sure, yeah.
And the thing is that you can change it a little bit. You don't have to say, because I'm sure that this getting married seafoam bit is from the story originally.
Yeah, I think they kind of do that in like the Little Mermaid Disney movie too.
You can change the story a little bit so that something else will cause her to turn into seafoam make a more realistic and engaging conflict.
Yes,
instead of jumping from her getting tail removal surgery.
I hated that.
And then they like try to have sex and it doesn't work out. And then it's all of a sudden he's getting married to someone else.
He's like, well, I guess I'm done here.
He said, that's crazy.
I'm gonna settle down with somebody else.
That scene was such a frustration for me because I thought it would be cute. And then all of a sudden it just flipped completely.
I know. I was frustrated with the entire plot. Like, I really wish that he had completely changed directions. Like, if I don't know, you wanted to stick with this whole like, you have to do these certain things by this time to stay a mermaid. You know, there's like way more interesting ways of going about that than doing the same. Like,
haven't you seen Disney's The Little Mermaid?
for a man. Come on, stop doing that. A mermaid would never give up being a mermaid for a man. I just don't believe
Especially not this man.
Yeah,
seriously. He plays bass. Are you kidding me?
Disgusting. And he's so greasy and gross, and he called her an animal. I hated it.
So what did you feel about the demon guy? That was like also out of left field.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't think I really got the point. I guess I liked the idea that there's like more mystical things going on in the world. And like, you don't have to do a whole deep dive into that, but it was cool that Golden sort of recognized him right away as somebody who like wasn't really a human, and they had this sort of like instant connection. Like, I love that she's like so fascinated by him as soon as she sees him, and she can't stop like smiling at him and stuff. A lot of my favorite parts of the movie were just like Golden's sort of like wonder at the world around her. I really like that. And I really like the moment where she meets the demon guy. But then when you realize like he's just sort of thrown in there to drop this random ass lore about being able to like turning into a home and somebody that you love gets married, I was like, oh my God, why are they doing this? That's so silly.
He's the fish lore guy.
Yeah.
And then Golden joins his band just for one scene.
Yeah. And that was awesome, to be honest.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it like, why was it there if you're not going to do anything with it?
Right. You know? Yeah. Wasn't enough.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing that bothered me was just like the jumps. Towards the back half of this one, because I think that they had something really good working for him with this one.
I agree.
I think overall my opinion is definitely very positive. I think this is a very unique picture, and I think it's positives are worth like watching it in any case. I think what I got out of watching this one definitely was made it worth it. It's happens to me from time to time where it's the movies that the premise is so good and interesting that just fumbles it a little bit, that just kind of can be very frustrating, because I know that somewhere in this wasn't very far off from being like one of my new favorites. So it can be kind of frustrating when it didn't quite work out. I feel very similarly about the Neon Demon, which is a Nicholas Winding Refn, who's the same guy who did Drive, which is one of my favorites all time. I think there's so much interesting stuff in the Neon Demon that just makes me very frustrated about how it was poorly executed, in my opinion. Right. And so it's one that sticks with me because there's so much good there that I just wish all came together a little better.
No, this one had so much potential that just kind of got dropped. And it reminds me about like what we have talked about before with movies like Kiki's Delivery Service, where it's just kind of like, not all movies have to have these crazy life-altering conflicts. You know, to just like introduce it at the very end. Why can't they just keep vibing on Earth? Like, I would have been into this movie if it was just about mermaids who come to land. It never had to get this serious.
Actually, yeah, that's a really good point. I would also appreciate that, because I was having such a blast with just the musical numbers worked in. And it felt like a fun way of just kind of building up the vibe just through that. Cause I think that what they did with their songs were varied enough to remain interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Another one that I wanted to mention, another scene is when the guy turns on the radio and it's like drums, and he just does his little routine in his like shirt and underwear or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that went so hard. And that was another moment where I'm like, this movie is so cool.
There was so many cool parts.
All the moments where they just kind of departed from objective reality to just do something fun, I think worked so well.
I really agree with that.
Like the one where they're singing their song and falling in love. And mm-hmm. then it just cuts and they just were in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. So cool. That one where it just like, it's just like a spotlight and he's just jamming out. Like,
yeah, it is. So
and then cool. that just went, well, there was the point with the scene that we talked about that made no sense. Did the same thing, but it didn't feel rewarding. Yeah. So
that did not work for me.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't know. It's interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should have either remained the exact same length as it was and been way lower stakes, lower conflict, or it should have been like a half an hour longer and the conflict should have been much better thought out. And yeah.
Also the scene with the police woman, what was that about?
I don't know.
That made no sense. I forgot that had happened because it's just a one-off scene that is never addressed again.
I know. At first, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. Have you ever seen the show Killing Eve?
No, I have not.
It's like a very similar premise, except neither of them are mermaids. But okay. It is. It's like a detective who's chasing this very like seductive criminal, and they're both women, and like this detective has to kind of walk this line between like, do I want to catch her because she's a bad person, or do I want to catch her because I'm like infatuated with her? So interesting. And I felt like that scene tried to bottle up that same type of feeling in this one quick one-off thing, but then it just ended, and then yeah. I was like, okay, I don't really think we had to do all that.
Never to be seen or heard from.
Yeah,
that like thread.
Kind of a little over the top.
Well, and it would have been very fun if it was ever addressed again.
Right. Yeah. Did she eat the lady cop?
I don't know.
Is that what we're supposed to believe? I kind of think she did.
It seemed that way, but then, well, so I don't remember if it cut right to it, but like that was to introduce that they're on to her. Like they know that she killed that one guy.
Yeah.
And then we don't hear from it in any other context except that it's just on the news, and that's what causes right. the conflict with the rest of the people. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know either. It just fell flat for me in a lot of ways.
Just the way that this one unfolds, I wonder if they just like ran out of budget for it.
Yeah,
like if there's more to it, but
I don't know though.
Like it's. It seems that they had maybe some more to say because there are a couple of these threads that like just aren't really carried out in any way. And it would feel weird if that just was the plan all along, was to just throw this scene in there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, because on the other hand, it would have to be even smaller of a budget to run into the situation where we're like, oh, okay, we're not going to be able to shoot these scenes that we need to.
Yeah.
Like they would know before production.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was like, if there were problems, it was probably just like mismanaged a little bit, or else mm-hmm. this was the plan based on, you know, I'm sure there was like some restrictions. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's interesting, but
it's interesting.
I do think that there's a lot of good there.
I agree. I am really, really glad that we watched it. And there are definitely many scenes that will stick with me forever.
Yeah. So what rating, and would you recommend this one?
I think I'm going to give it only a 6 out of 10. It's kind of between a 6 and a 7. Oh, maybe 7's better. There was a lot of really good stuff. But overall, I think I just kind of am like, I'm just kind of disappointed more than that, I guess. So yeah, I'll stick with the 6 out of 10, but I really would recommend, especially because it's really short. You don't have to make like a huge commitment to watch this one. A lot of it is just fun musical numbers too. So I would say, I don't know, expect to go in like and not get a whole lot in return by the end and to be confused. But like, if you're somebody who likes to watch a movie just because it's so like odd and fun to look at and like fun to experience, and like you don't need that much of a plot, then I would really highly recommend it.
Yeah, I gave this one a 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Because I think that a lot, I just like the look and vibe that's established, I think is really kind of capitalized on. And it just kind of hits the wall at a certain point, which, if you're given this script, like, I don't know what more you can do. It's, I think a lot of the problems are with kind of how it unfolds. But I think what's actually there on the screen, I think there's so much good there. And I would also recommend it. I think it's just a fun one. Like, I think this is one that's good to watch for enjoyment and also would just be a fun, like, group watch also.
Yeah, I agree with that. I made Adam watch it with me and we did have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so that's The Lure.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have finally seen it.
Still loves Spirit Mermaids. Yeah. For the record.
Yeah, to be clear. If anybody knows any other Scary Mermaid movies, I would love to know about them.
Nice. Yeah, so two for two on October musicals.
Nice. Good for us. Let's keep it going. Let's do a Rocky Horror.
Okay, I've never seen it actually. So.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, you can't just watch it. You have to like
experience it.
Yeah, the event. So never mind.
We can find another horror musical. I'm sure there are loads. I feel like most of them would be like parodies, but. Or we could watch Carrie, another Brian De Palma.
I do really want to watch Carrie.
And I think that would work out.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
It would be cool. Also, we were talking about November last time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have another Noir-vember this year?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, because I was kind of wondering about, like, I realized that after last episode, I was like, what do we do in November? We did something and we had a Noir-vember extravaganza. And so I have like a rough list that I want to kind of delve into.
Okay.
So I think that'll be cool. And yeah. So I think we got some plans for the next couple months whenever we find a good time to record, we'll have something to do or talk about. And then 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is the next book club book written by Dear Jules.
So excited. I actually haven't started it, but I will.
Word.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy read so far.
Yeah. So, okay, the plan is to maybe do Carrie, then wrap up, then book club, but we'll probably be just wrap up including Carrie and then book club the week after that.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Doable. Unless you can record like later in the week, like this week is free for me. So.
Like later this week.
Yeah. I can maybe like sometime on the weekend.
Yeah. I could do a weekend day.
Cool. Let's do that and watch Carrie then. That sounds fun.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. And we'll be pumping out the episodes pretty quick for a little bit to kind of make up for lost time, maybe.
Yeah. That's
To capitalize on the October season.
Yeah, the best time of the year.
Yeah. I like it. So yeah, let's shoot for Carrie for this weekend. And then whenever next works, we can do wrap up and then book club.
Sounds great.
And then Noir-vember. two categorized months in a row. You love to see it. We figured out what November means to us. And it's Noir-vember.
Noirs. I like having a themed month. I think it's really fun.
It's pretty cool. Cool. So yeah, that's the next couple weeks. That's our plan. That's what we got going on. I didn't mention it. I checked it at some point when we were talking, but there is no new mailbag submissions for today.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want your voice to be heard on the show, please submit to our mailbag. The link is in every episode description for the most recent ones anyways, and also where our website is listed anywhere that you find our page for the podcast. So submit whatever. Any questions for us? Any answers, for what we ask. Any suggestions of what you want us to watch or like do for the podcast? If you have like any fun things you want answered or opinions or anything like that, please submit to the mailbag. It'll be fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. So that means all that is left to do for this week is to recommend an album. If you're new here, we recommend an album that you should listen to at the end of every episode. And it's that time once again. Do you, Addy, have an album to recommend for this week?
Yes. I'm going to recommend an album that is from the 90s, but is new, fairly new to me, which is Reading, Writing, and Arithmetic by the Sundays. It's very Cranberries-esque, I would say, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's a very nice, like, 90s rock band that just feels like so fall to me. I don't know. If you agree that the Cranberries feels like very fall music, I think you will also agree that the Sundays feels like very fall music. So I've been listening to this a lot on my fall playlists, walking to and from school around campus with the falling leaves, and it just feels right. So incredible. If you're trying to get that vibe too, I would recommend this album.
Excellent pick. Actually, I assume so. I'm not familiar. I'll have to check it out myself. My album might also be fall a little bit. I don't know. I feel like it's fall, but it's Liquid Swords by GZA, the genius from the Wu-Tang Clan. This was the first album that was released by a Wu-Tang member outside of their group efforts, I guess. Mm-hmm. But basically another Wu-Tang album. and it's like one of, if you do consider it a Wu-Tang album, it's like one of the better ones. Just such a vibe. All of like the random martial arts movie samples that they use. And I don't know, it's just a very iconic album. And at least for me, it feels like a fall album. I always listen to Wu-Tang in the fall.
Very nice.
And I actually got this on a CD and visited Brussels. I went to a record store and just bought CDs because there's a CD player in my apartment here in Madrid. So
nice.
That's why I've been listening to it a lot lately. And I think everyone else should for this week. It might set your fall tone in a satisfying way.
Love it.
And on that note, it's time to call it a day. Thank you for listening, one and all, and do great things this week. We believe in you.
Yes, we do.
Go check out the lure.
Yeah, you should check it out and then report back in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Catch you later.
Bye now.